It's good to see each of you this morning. I always feel, I don't know how to put it, strange. A lot of people will say, well, you are strange, but when Norm's here and I'm preaching, but Norm didn't figure he could stand up here for the length of time required for him to stand up here, however long that is, and has not been feeling good. Again, Norm's another person we need to keep in our prayers. Yeah, where am I? Oh, did you show my little guy? Two of my favorite people in the world are Hagar the Horrible and B.C. Don't tell me they're cartoons, okay? Both of them, both of their writers have a knack for saying the right thing. What are you going to do today? Well, pray as usual, right? Because we have all kinds of difficulties in our life. It has nothing to do with our sermon. I just like it, okay? But keep that in mind. You can go to the blank one if you want to. Are you there? Okay. If you are a husband of one of the ladies that's staying and you don't have anything else to do, I'm going to go get a hamburger while we wait for them, or whatever you want. You're paying yours, and but if you want something other than a hamburger or something like that, wherever you want to go, we'll go and maybe fellowship a little bit or something like that, or just eat, right? Let's see. Trying to remember all the things I try to remember. That's why that's blank up there. That is like my mind sometimes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. I pray that as we study your word, that it will be real and alive to us. I pray that there will be meaning to it like never before. I pray that though we may come across something that may disturb us, I pray that it will disturb us to action. I pray that we will be willing to listen to what you have to say and do your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Jeremiah 6. I hope that's where we are. Jeremiah 6. And by the way, if you want to turn to Jeremiah 6, that's where most of our lesson comes from. It'll all be up here on the screen. But that's where most of the lesson comes from. The Romans 8 will be in there. It was there to get you to thinking. Jeremiah, in talking about the children of Israel, he says, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. There's a blank one. Could you put that up just for a second? I want to talk to you about something, blushing. But what I'm going to talk about is going to sound negative to some of you folks. And there are going to be some negative things in my sermon. Bob Irby, a good friend of mine who I went to his preaching classes for a number of years. Bob always said, if you preach a sermon that's full of negativity, you got to give an answer to the negativity. Makes sense, doesn't it? Because for me to just leave it as, you know, as one of my favorite elders says, the wages of sin is sin, just to leave it that way will make you wonder. Amen. In Florence, when I was preaching one time, I didn't listen to that advice. And I got home and I got a phone call. And it was from a young lady at church. And she said, could I talk to you? And in fact, Iris and I both went over. And she said, I committed that sin that you talked about. And I guess I'm going to hell. I forgot to tell her the good news. I forgot to tell her that no sin, even though it is an abomination in God's eyes, is unforgivable. I forgot to tell you there's a man in the Bible named David who just about did it all. And yet he was a man after God's own heart. And God was willing and able to forgive him. Having said that, go to the next slide and I ask this question. Have we, as the church, lost our blush? Now, ladies, I'm not talking about that little thing you carry in your compact, if they still carry compacts. Not that blush we're talking about. Talking about blushing, not necessarily because somebody gave you a compliment. That happens, doesn't it? But because you did something wrong. Because you did something bad. That's the kind of question I want to ask. Have we lost that blush? Have we lost the blush that Jeremiah was talking about when he said the children of Israel, when they committed abomination, did not even blush? They forgot how to, one translation says. Blushing reveals an interesting correlation of one's inward and outward person. And like I said, when I talk about blushing, I'm not necessarily talking about turning red in the face. I'm talking about inside as well as outside. And perhaps I'm talking about inside instead of outside. Because sometimes we blush inwardly. Amen. Have you ever committed a sin yourself and made you blush inside? That feeling, you know that feeling I'm talking about? Do you? Okay, thank you. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't alone. That's the kind of blush that Jeremiah was talking about. That's the kind of thing that he was trying to get across to the people. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. Got it? He goes on to say, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Just to put it this way, and one translation of it real quickly, okay? Have you ever said a bad word? And then have you ever said, where did that come from? It came from what's unseen. It came from what's unseen that you put inside you. Okay? That's what Paul's talking about. The guilt of conscience can cause a physiological reaction. Amen? It can make us blush outwardly. It can make us sick to our stomach. David talks about the fact that he wet his bed with his tears. It was a year approximately in timeline between the time that he committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband killed and lied about it before he was confronted by the prophet Nathan. And he talks about his nights being desperate nights. They were painful nights. They were sickening nights. Can you imagine crying till you've wet your bed with tears to such an extent that after, anybody know the feeling of no more tears? There just aren't any more that can come up, even though I try. A Christian that can sin without blushing is a person. And by the way, let's stay on that slide just for a second. If there's any visitors here, I'm talking to my brothers and sisters. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to Christians in this lesson. Sometime you may come up, but I'm talking primarily to my brothers and sisters. I'm primarily talking to the church, and that does for sure include me. But a Christian who can sin without blushing is a person with these four characteristics. First of all, they do not delight in God's Word. If you've been around me any, you know that if there's ever something that comes up, I tell us the answer is in God's Word. I believe in studying God's Word. I believe in staying in God's Word. I believe that it's more than just, as it's taught in some school, the book of literature. It is, and as it is, the mind of God, insofar as we can understand it. It would have been impossible for us to understand completely the mind of God. But He put in this book what He wants us to know and understand. He put in this book what leads to life, what leads to godliness. It is the Word of God. Jeremiah 6, back to it. In verse 10, Jeremiah is talking about the people not being able to blush, and he says this, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears, that's the people of the Israelites, behold, their ears are uncircumcised. They cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord, notice the bold print, the word of the Lord is to them an object of scorn, and they take no pleasure in it. Okay. Does that touch a sore spot? I hope not. I hope not. They take no pleasure in the word of God. The next slide. I love the shepherd's voice because, do you catch that? Take a close look at that. That's a sheep, by the way, laying down. I know you won't find many of them out in the field that way, but that's a Christian laying down. That's a Christian reading the Sheep Digest, watching television, listening to the radio, playing on his computer. And all of those things are good. Amen? Amen? They are good. But they take us away from the Word of God if we're not careful. Notice the bottom, it says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. How do we hear His voice? I'm giving you a hint. How do we hear His voice? We hear it by the Word of God. Romans 10:17 is not up there. Just write it down if you're taking notes. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay? My sheep hear my voice. I don't hear Jesus talking. Then you're not into His Word. I don't hear Him saying to me, Glenn, you ought to be doing this, you ought to be doing that. Then I'm not into His Word. Thus says the Lord, is found seven times in the sixth chapter of Jeremiah. Sound important? Seven different times Jeremiah says, thus says the Lord. This is what God wants you to hear. This is how God wants you to live your daily life. It is a loss of faith in God's Word as God's Word. As late as 2004, only 32% of people claiming to be Christians believe the Bible to be God's Word and necessary for everyday living. And we wonder what's wrong with this nation of ours. 32% of people who call themselves Christians say, meh, the Word of God, I can take it or leave it. Yeah, it comes in handy when we're having a funeral and I want to hear Jesus say, come be with me. But it doesn't come in handy when He's meddling in my life and telling me the things that I'm doing are a sin. 32%, only 32% of people claiming to be Christians believe. I've got a question for you. No shaking your heads up and down, back and forth, whatever it is. Do you with all your heart believe that God's Word is for you today and it will lead you to life and godliness? Do you? Contrast that with Psalm 1, starting with verse 1, reading on through in a couple of the verses. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Do you catch that? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Think about that. When someone no longer delights in God's Word, he can believe anything, even a lie. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. Paul says, and this is in the middle of it, you can read the context later, but he says, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refused to love the truth and to be saved. Do you want to know why people are going to go to hell? Well, it's because they're big sinners. Because they refused to love the truth. They forgot about the Word of God. They thought they could do anything they wanted, anytime they wanted, and that they were immune. We'll talk about that in just a moment. In fact, that leads us to our next thought. The second reason is because they are deceived by false teaching. Back to Jeremiah 6, the 13th verse, starting with the 13th verse. Jeremiah 6, 13 and 14. For from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. And from the prophet to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They've healed the wound of my people lightly. I'm going to paraphrase it for you. They've been cut by sin from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, and these false prophets are saying, take an aspirin, here's a Band-Aid. You may sin with impunity. Nothing's going to happen to you. You can do what you want, live how you want, act how you want, go where you want, and nothing's going to happen to you. That, my friends, is the oldest lie. For in Genesis, the third chapter and the fourth verse, the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Has anybody known death since then? Someone say everybody, except a couple of lucky guys. Right? We've all known death, but we've all known death not just in the physical sense. We've known it in the worst sense. We've known it in the spiritual sense. Because we've all read Romans, I'm sure. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there is none righteous, no, not one. Isn't that it? We cannot sin with impunity. Someone tells you, you're not responsible for your actions. Okay? Or someone says, you can pass the buck. You can claim you ate too much sugar. You can blame it on your parents. You can blame it on your genes. And in some courts in this nation, you'll get away with it. Amen? Wasn't me. My mother spanked me too much. Man, did she. Okay? And I'm not saying that people, you know, I have a grandson that if he eats red dye, number whatever it is, 4 jillion, but if he eats that, he becomes tense and, you know. Okay, I'm not saying that, doesn't, but I'm saying even when that boy eats it, he knows what's going on because he's been taught. And you know what? When somebody hands him even a red-looking sucker, he'll look at it and say, no, thanks. No, thanks. I can't eat that because I know what it'll do to me. I can take a drink any day of the week and nothing will happen to me. But then comes the second drink and the third and the fourth, and you know the story. One little shot of heroin ain't going to hurt. I can snort this one time and it won't hurt me. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. We have deceived ourselves. The third reason would be they live with a deadened conscience. A deadened conscience. I hate to say this, but it looks like we're living in a world that has that. Back to Jeremiah 6, verse 17 and 18. I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they say, we will not pay attention. Therefore, hear, O nations, know, O congregation, what will happen to them. God, our loving Heavenly Father, says, I set watchmen over you. People who have proclaimed to you my word. Okay? He's talking today, if we put it on today, and everybody should, but in particular, he's talking about preachers, and he's talking about elders. And he's saying, I put them over you. They're supposed to love you enough to tell you, to warn you, but you wouldn't listen. Okay? Now, that's everybody's obligation. If you see your brother or sister sinning, you need to talk to them. But in this sense, he's saying, I set them over you. Listen to them, but you would not listen. You have a deadened conscience. Everybody has a sense of ought not not. Is that a good one? I think everybody knows what they ought to do and ought not to do. Remember when you were a child? Okay? There were times you went to do something and you went, I love, what's your name? The, not you. Yeah, what? Yeah, Olivia. She came over once. She was walked her way over. And she got over close to Iris's bag over here. And she got that far away from touching it. And she went, uh-oh. 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 I don't know how old she is. Two, three, whatever she is. I don't remember people grow. She knew. She knew. Okay? Paul put it this way in Romans, the second chapter and the 14th verse. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have a law. Okay? Anybody here kind of got a hint that it would be wrong to shoot somebody? I mean, please say yes. Okay? God's Word places a great deal of emphasis on the conscience, with more than 30 references in the New Testament. More than 30 times God talks about your and my conscience. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. In Hebrews 10:19-22, the writer there says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Peter put it this way when he talked about baptism. I didn't put it up there, and I thought about it today. 1 Peter 3, look it up. He says, a like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. You know what? How it saves us? It is an appeal to God for a clear... Yeah, you got it. A clear. My baptism says, God, I want to have a clear conscience. And God takes care of it. Because when we come up out of that watery grave, my sins are gone. My sins are gone. Where is our country's conscience? Doesn't take long to answer it, does it? Does our country still blush? Does our country still blush? Where's the church's conscience? Does she still blush? The fourth thing, they live bent on destroying themselves. People who cannot blush are bent on destroying themselves. Jeremiah 6:15. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. See, you can make it through this life with everything good happening to you, not obeying God. And they may put you in that casket and you don't have a scar on your body and you're left $43 trillion. God says the time is coming when I will judge you. When I put this fourth one down, talking about people live on bent on destroying themselves, I'm not necessarily talking about while they're alive. I'm talking about sealing their eternal fate of destruction. outlined in Romans 1. Okay, let's go to that. Read Romans 1. You'll see all of this. It sounds just like today. Outlined in Romans 1, first of all, is a rejection of God. A rejection of God. And you know the God I'm talking about. The only true God, okay? And today, you can turn on television, yeah, but what about this God, that God, this God, that God? What about the movies? What about, you know, and we could go on and on and on. We've rejected God. The God of our fathers, we have rejected. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we have rejected. The God of Adam and Eve, we've rejected. We have rejected that God. The second thing is a creation of gods. Because, see, you can reject God, but you got to have a God. I mean, you just got to have a God. We got to have something to worship. We got to have something to do. We got to have some way to live. So we'll create other gods. Okay? And I hesitate to tell you what they are, but I think many of us know what gods we've created. Okay? And the next thing is they have degenerate minds. Sounds like a tough thing to say about people, but degenerate minds. Do you know why the world was first destroyed? Because the hearts of men was on the evil all the time. That's all they thought about. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. Let's live it up. Hey, I just thought of something really evil. Let's go do it. And that was it. That's what the Scriptures teach us. And as you look around this world of ours today, and then a loss of control. And I didn't put self-control, I'm talking, but that's what I meant. A loss of total self-control. I cannot control myself anymore. I want to do this, and I'm going to do it. Period. You got to bear with me here. I hope I can get this right. Anybody see all those circles and arrows? I told Iris this morning, I said, I think I made a mistake. So this next slide should say, so where do we find hope that we may blush again? That's what I want to do. Don't you? I want to be able to say, when the guys walk in the break room and start telling a dirty joke, I want to walk away. I want to quit standing around saying you shouldn't do that, but with a grin on my face, because the joke was funny. Right? I want to blush again at anything that offends God. Anything that offends God. And I don't want to be afraid to tell somebody that offends God. That is the hole or the corner I think we Christians have backed ourselves into. Because we're afraid to say anything. We're afraid to tell other people. Here's a question. Is political activism the answer? Let me read these to you. I hope does that say 1 Timothy? Huh? No? What does it say? Well, then go to the, I hope I put that in there. Yeah, there it is. 1 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. And I have to read it here because I didn't write it here. This know also that in the last days, that's the days we're living in, okay, perilous times will come. For men shall be, doesn't this sound just like Romans 1 that you heard read? Listen, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. It's the world we live in, and God said turn away from it. Okay? Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, that's what we've just been talking about with false gods and people saying this is what our... Did you see all those things up there? Did you see all the things listed up there? Now, I'm going to ask this question again. Is political activism the answer? I hope I'm not picking on your man, but Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump can't stop that. They can't. Only God and a clear conscience. And did you notice as these things were written that there were little sins in there as well as big sins in there? Why, there was murder in there, and there was also disobedience to parents. Why, there was adultery in there, and there was also gossip. Do you see what God's saying is one sin's as bad as another? You can, and this is what we're doing in this day and age. You can put lipstick on a pig and dress it in the prettiest dress you've ever seen, and it's still a pig. You can call a dog a cat, and it's still a dog. Amen? You can call a sin, we're just in a relationship, and it's still a sin. You can call it anything you want to. And somebody's going to pop up and say, you're the most intolerant person I ever met. You can't talk that way. You can't. In fact, if this was a business, they would be sending me to school next week. I serve a loving God. And God wouldn't condemn me for something I'm born into. Let me put it this way, as easy as I can. God will not tolerate sin. Any sin, whatever it is, God will not tolerate sin. So how do we fix it? Jeremiah 6:16. Somebody shake your head yes. It popped up there? Okay, good. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. And listen, that will lead us to do the other things that make us pure and holy in the sight of God. But we got to get back to it. Last night, any time I woke up, I heard this. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. And if we get back to telling the story of Jesus to ourselves and to one another and to this nation that we live in, unafraid of being called intolerant bigots, then we'll blush again. Then we'll blush again. And we will lead the world to blush again. I believe that this book that I'm talking about, the Bible, teaches us how to be saved. As simply as I can put it, Romans 6 says that if we are buried with Jesus Christ in baptism, we will go into that watery grave and leave an old, filthy, blushless man behind and come up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life. I pray that if there's someone here who's not a child of God, they'll take this opportunity to give their lives to Jesus Christ by submitting to Him in obedience to His Word. Christian, if you're not blushing, let you and I turn back to God. And let's let God know that blushing for Him means everything to us. And let's begin to do it again. If you have a need, would you make it known by coming as we stand and sing?